Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. You were a group of researchers, journalists that did a study, and you found that there was a 226% spike in hate crimes in counties that held Trump rallies in 2016. How did you get to that number?
Well, first of all, I need to clarify. I know that the headline that the Monkey Cage and that article chose to use was hate crimes, but we saw an increase in the level of hateful actions or incidents.
Okay.
They don't necessarily fit the definition of crime.
Okay.
The data that we used was data collected by the Anti-Defamation League. We used their data from, June until the month after the election of Donald Trump in 2016.
And isn't it true that...
That was your question, right?
Yes, that was my question.
Okay.
And isn't it true that those numbers are still probably low, given the fact that many people don't report incidents like this?
Yes, absolutely. That's correct. When we're talking about hateful incidents, many times people don't choose to tell authorities that, you know, that somebody put up a sign on your office door that said, immigrants, go home, we don't want you. Which has happened at my university before. I mean, those things are not necessarily reported. So you're right. Exactly.
And how much does it matter from your perspective that white nationalists like Richard Spencer openly support Trump? How much does that galvanize the bases into action?
Well, we argue that that it is a combination, of course, of the presence and efforts of white nationalists and hate groups, coupled with political messages that activate Anglo sense of threat and prejudice. So to say exactly how much, I don't know. We just know that there's a strong relationship there.
Trump is beginning to stump in earnest for the 2020 presidency, and there are some folks concerned that we are going to see an increase, an uptick, even worse than 2016, in violent attacks against vulnerable populations. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think that's a concern as well. And it's not, I guess the other thing that we should also say, I want to be very careful about this, is it's not just Donald Trump's language. There's a language on the part of a lot of political elites, which is inflammatory. And so it's just it's a mix of rhetoric and increased activity by extremist groups that research shows produces this kind of reaction in groups who have a high sense of threat or prejudice towards out-groups, typically racial, ethnic, and religious minorities.
And the truth is, right, we saw the increase in, or the numbers begin to surge in white national groups when Obama came into his presidency. So this did
not
start with Trump.
No, that's correct. And so that's why we want to be really careful with what we're saying here. One of the things that my group of researchers is doing currently now is we're expanding our data. We now are going to be looking at the relationships that we saw in this preliminary study from before George W. Bush and bring it all the way up through 2017. Unfortunately, we won't get the reports for 2018 or 2019. We don't have that data, but we are going back before George W. and bringing it up through 2017, and we hope to get that out soon.
How do we counter that? How should communities be preparing themselves, protecting themselves?
You know, that's a good question. I'm a political scientist. That's a question probably for someone with other expertise. However, I do
have an opinion, right?
Work, and I certainly do, and I actually have some expertise in human relations counsel.
Mm-hmm.
which are present throughout the United States, that were created after, you know, the race riots in the early 1960s. And these are organizations which, when they began their work, were very effective. Today, they're primarily involved in just anti-discrimination enforcement with respect to housing. Mm-hmm. Their budgets have been cut in terms of working on intergroup relations and bringing people together in terms of education and contact. And so, you know, from my perspective, I think that human relations commissions at the local level and at the county level need to be given more resources and support and attention. I think human relations commissions are probably one of the most effective. You know, they bring people from different groups together to talk on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. They promote grassroots movements, friendly neighborhoods, those types of things that bring people together on a regular basis, take people off of the social internet where most people get their information, mm-hmm. and bring it into one-on-one and group meetings, face-to-face meetings, as opposed to getting your information off the internet or off your smartphone.
Valerie Martinez-Ebers, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
Valerie Martinez-Ebers is a professor of political science and director of Latinx and Mexican American Studies at the University of North Texas.